by an individual. Do I have to go to church? Well, I really can't answer that question for you, because that's something that you have to, I think, answer for yourself. I think that's between you and God. But I tell you what, I know how my daddy answered that question. My daddy's answer to that question was, every time the door is open, and I mean every time, Sunday morning. And back then, now we had classes on Sunday afternoon too. So it was Sunday morning classes, Sunday morning worship, Sunday afternoon classes, Sunday afternoon worship, Wednesday night, and any gospel meeting, which back then they were 2 weeks long. So we went every, and not just the gospel meetings that were at our congregation. That was back when they had the tent meetings, you know, for a couple of weeks, and we would sit out in there with the mosquitoes and everything else, and because we went to church. That was his answer. We never had to ask Daddy or Mother Sunday afternoon, Daddy, are we going to go back to church tonight? We just knew that that was the way that it was in our household. If the door was open, my daddy was there, and he made sure that we were as well. It wasn't we're going to go to church unless you have a ball game, or it wasn't we're going to go to church unless there's something else that we'd rather do as a family. When we traveled, we looked for a church on Sunday morning, and we went to church. I remember asking Daddy one time, I said, Daddy, do we have to go to church? We're on vacation. And his answer was, he never took his eyes off the road. He just said, God's not on vacation. So we went to church. I do believe that it's very important. I believe it's important for us to think about it. And I don't want to preach at you this morning. I don't want to preach to you. I just want us to talk about this. I want us to talk about why it's we need to go to church. Why is it valuable? What is the purpose of our being together as Christians? And I think that God's Word has a lot to say about this. So, first thing let's ask is how can we be sure that church attendance is valuable? Church attendance is important. And I suggest the first reason is that God requires it. I mean, we can read in God's Word the passage of Scripture that Matthew read for you this morning. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's kind of a misnomer to say, do I have to go to church? Because the meaning of the church is people. But now we talk like that, and we understand what we mean. We'll say, kids, get ready. It's almost time for church. Or we say, we're going to go, and we've got a meeting at the church. Or we're going to go work as work day. We're going to have a work day and go work on the church. Well, we know that we're talking about the building. We know we're talking about the worship services. But the church is people. The church worldwide is the brotherhood. The church locally is our Johnson family. So when you're talking about the church, the meaning of the word is an assembly. And you can't have the church without an assembly. So the point is, though, that it was God's idea. It's God's idea that we get together. It's part of his plan. It includes, God thought it was valuable enough to include that in his plan for our salvation. And so the first reason why that we can say that church attendance is valuable is because God requires it. And the other thing is, what God requires, we must do. I mean, He's God. We're not. And if God says, gives us a command, we are bound to obey it. Can you just imagine for a moment a school that just allowed all of its students to decide when they wanted to come? What about you as parents? What if you let your kids decide whether they wanted to go to school or not today? For one thing, you know that would not work. Can you imagine an army? An army where a soldier got to decide whether or not he wanted to show up for duty that day, or whether he just wanted to be AWOL. What kind of army would you have? What kind of school would you have? But no, we have laws that actually require our students to go to school. And of course, the army expects its soldiers to show up for duty. So, if God requires it, then that's a pretty good reason why I need to consider making that a very important part in my life. And not only if God requires it, we must do it, but we should do it. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says that God's commands are not burdensome. You know what that means? That means that God's not going to do anything or require anything of us that's not good for us. So what John is saying is, he's saying that being together and worshiping together is good for all of us. And it's because that it helps us to keep a perspective on life. It kind of puts everything in the picture. It helps us to realize that this world is not all important. And man, that can become so easy for us to get caught up in the things of this world. It's so easy for this world and its demands that it makes, which they are numerous. The demands that this world makes on our time and our life and our talent and everything else, is hard to keep that perspective that we need about our spiritual journey. And the song we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." It helps us. In fact, when it comes to Paul's discussion about the Lord's Supper, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 to examine ourselves. This is a time in our worship, in our assembling around the table, in our being together. It's a time for us to examine ourselves. And then the assembly helps us to grow spiritually. And that certainly is commanded of us. And Peter, in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, talks about how essential it is for us to grow spiritually. And then the Bible talks about the Word of God being the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. We're not going to miss too many meals. And that's what the connotation that Peter's trying to get across to us here is, that this is food. The time that we are together, it's a feast time, especially when we assemble around the table to remember what Jesus has done for us. This is a spiritual feast, and God invites us to His table. We would be so concerned if our children were not eating properly. One of my favorite sermons that Jeremy has preached is about Sarah not eating her mashed potatoes. And he made that into an awesome lesson about our need for spiritual food. And that's what this does for us. Not only that, but the assembly helps us to overcome temptation. And man, we've got such a battle. Listen to me. Satan wants to destroy you. Son, he is after you with everything. He don't know who I am. Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't you ever think that you're going to just blend into the crowd and Satan's not going to come after you. He knows who you are. And he knows the strengths and the weaknesses that you've got. And that's what temptation is. He's trying his best to get you away from God. And anything and everything that will help him, he craves. So if he can get you to stay home today and not be a part of the assembling of the saints, he is thrilled to death. The Bible tells us that he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Anything that you can find that will help you to overcome temptation, we need very badly. And Psalms 119 and verse 11, David says it so well. He said, "Thy word have I treasured up in my heart that I may not sin against thee." There's your power. There's your strength. There's your weapon. There's your sword. Well, we can also say that the assembly helps us to become more like God. And that it needs to be our goal. To be more like God. And you know, Paul encourages us to do this in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, where he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." The more we can be like God, the more we try to be like God, the more chance we've got to spend eternity with Him. Which leads us to the next thought. Our assembling ourselves together helps us to prepare for heaven. In heaven, we're going to get to talk to God. We're going to get to sing praises. We're going to get to remember the blood that Jesus shed and saved us. We're going to get to learn from great men. And wait a minute. That's what we do in the assembly, isn't it? Don't we get to praise God in the assembly and sing praises to Him? And don't we get to remember the blood that Jesus shed for our salvation? And learn from great men and great truths? Well, you can pretty well say that then the assembly is just a little part of heaven. Because that's just what we're going to get to do when we get to heaven. So, Why not already practice a little bit on it? And that's exactly what it does. And it helps us to encourage others. Just like we were singing and talking about a moment ago. You visitors this morning, y'all are so important to us. We're so glad to have you. It's an encouragement to our church family here that you have chosen to spend your day in worship with us. And we hope and we're prayerful that we've been an encouragement to you, that today when you leave to go on to your homes or about your business, that you can say, you know what? I'm really glad I went to Johnson this morning. Because that's what it ought to do. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But what? Encourage one another. Build up one another. That's what it's for. Or that's a byproduct of what it's for. Our main purpose for being here is to worship God. That's the purpose for us coming. And as a byproduct of our faithful worship to God, we can receive and should receive a blessing from being here. And I'm afraid that in our society today, that more and more we are looking at going to church like going to be entertained. And we want to leave with this feel-good feeling, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that cannot and must not and never should be the purpose for our worship. Our worship service, our purpose for being here today is to lift up God Almighty as our God and Creator and the salvation of our souls. And that's the reason why that every Sunday we take this what we did a moment ago and take the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, do this so that you won't forget. We don't need to forget, ever, ever, that Jesus died to purchase my salvation. And so, as a part of that, we get to encourage one another. And we get to be an encouragement to those that are not church people. When they see how important it is. Hey, partner, we're going to have a Super Bowl party Sunday night. Why don't y'all come? Well, we will, but we'll go to services first, to church first, and then we'll come on. This is the Super Bowl, dude. You can miss church one time. Come on over here, and we'll be there. We'll catch the second half with you. That says something to your friends. It says something to your friends whenever they see your Christianity at work or at school, when they see that you are different. And the difference that they see is that you are a Christian. That's what Jesus is talking about when he said, let your light so shine before others, they may see your good works Glorify your Father which is in heaven. I tell you who needs to see it. Your children need to see it. That's who needs to see it. Yesterday in our men's conference that we had here, which by the way was an awesome day. But JP's daddy, in his thoughts that he shared with us, told us a story about a man who was sitting one Sunday morning and he was reading his paper when his little boy came up to him and he said, "Daddy, how old do I have to be before I don't have to go to church?" And the man put his paper down and went and got ready for to go to church. Your children need to see your faithfulness. And one of the ways that you can show them, not the only way, but one of the ways you can show them is by your faithfulness. Well, as we think about this thing about worship, the assembly is and worshiping God gives us an opportunity to express something that comes from deep down within us. Every being, human being, has this inner calling. The caveman, he didn't know what it was, or he didn't have a clear understanding of God, but he would draw on his cave walls a god of the sun, or a god of the moon and stars, or the god of fire, because he knew, even in this time of ignorance, we would call it, that something, someone was bigger than he was. And that's what is in all of us, and we have to suppress that because that's there. And we're the ones that cover it up. The psalmist said in Psalms 42 and verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee." God has always, always looked for those to worship him. Because in John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, he said that the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to worship him. God seeks you to worship him. Just very quickly in closing, and I'm only going to read these scriptures. I'm not going to talk about them. But there are some passages of scripture that I just want you to listen to, and I want you to think about how that being faithful in your life, how it fulfills these passages of Scripture. First one is Matthew 6, verse 33, where Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." The second is Titus 3 and verse 1, where Paul writes there and says, "Be ready unto every good work." Mark 12 and verse 30. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all of thy strength, and with all of thy mind." And Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your," watch it now, "spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, when I think about church attendance, I think about this guy right here. Mr. Lee. Roy, how old is Mr. Lee? 98? Mr. Lee is 98. He can't hear. He doesn't even know that I'm talking about him this morning. But he's here every time the door's open. Every time. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's here. And one of the reasons why all of these people right here are here is this man right here. The reason why that his life is such a shining example, because he's 98 years old, got every reason in the world to stay home, but he doesn't. But he doesn't. Because he wants to let everybody know whose side he's on. And I admire him to a 100th degree. You're my hero, pal. Think about it. Do I have to go to church? I can't answer it for you. You've got to answer it. But I know this. You cannot lose by giving to God. Everything you give to God, whether it's your time, your talents, or your contribution, God will give it back to you a cup filled up, running over. You can't outgive God. Now, if we can help you with your relationship to God, would you come while together we stand and sing?